this song, 'cause it should be written now. These thoughts should be between us, as far ahead as time will allow. For once the suitcase has exploded, in this country's song called free, thoughts like these might not be tolerated by the time they nuke DC. By the time they nuke DC, will it be too late to wonder? There might have been another path than that of rape and plunder. When the mushroom cloud is rising, and it's all revenge and unity, who will ask these questions by the time they nuke DC? By the time they nuke DC, and there are millions lying dead from the radioactive wasteland, will more angry words be said? Call the empire the years of global tyranny, the millions slaughtered by our bombers by the time they nuke DC. Will the rulers think again before they push the button to kill a billion women and men? Must we wait to find out, or might we change history? Will we stop the madness before they nuke DC?
Welcome back to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just joining us, we're listening to Only 15 Years to End Civilization's Energy Failures with Tom Ashbrook and his guests.
I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The clock is ticking. Time is getting short for combating climate change, and we are not acting quickly enough to head off potential calamity, said the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change yesterday in Berlin. But we can still avert the worst if we get going fast, said the panel. This hour On Point, crunch time on this century's climate. In Berlin yesterday, here's German economist Ottmar Edenhofer, co-chaired the committee that wrote the new climate change report. He said, we cannot afford to lose another decade.
Emissions keep rising, and we risk for the second half of the century unabated climate change. And there is an increasing awareness around the globe that unabated climate change is a huge risk.
And the chairman of the panel, Rajendra Pachauri, saying there must be quick action and global effort in order to curb the effects of climate change.
The high-speed mitigation train would need to leave the station soon, and all of global society would have to get on board.
Tall order, but necessary to avert large potential risks, said the panel. Joining me from London is Gautam Naik. He covers science and the environment for the Wall Street Journal. You can link to his article, UN Climate Change Report Says Worst Scenarios Can Still Be Avoided, at our website, onpointradio.org. Gautam Naik, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So the time frame that's being described here for still heading off the worst, what's it look like?
Well, it depends what scenario is pursued by various governments. The essential message of this UN panel was that the pace of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions is accelerating, and this is going to bring on really worrisome levels of warming more quickly than had been anticipated even before, within a few decades. And that problem, however, can be fixed provided we take action quickly. The scenario for acting quickly would be that if they if countries are able to get together and cut CO2 emissions really dramatically, then we may be able to limit the extent of the warming and the time frame to just, you know, 2 or 3 decades. Otherwise, it may just really, you know, increase pretty dramatically, and the effects would last much longer. And the reason for that is that when the greenhouse gas emissions enter the atmosphere and have their effect, there's a lag, so the actual effects aren't felt much later on.
We're reading here that we would have to see an intensive push over the next 15 years, and then more beyond that, but right away over the next 15 years. What about the kind of measures that have been taken so far? What did the panel say about their effectiveness, their scale in comparison to the scale of the challenge?
Well, I'd say that the effort to reduce the emissions of carbon dioxide have largely failed. Various countries, about 200 of them, got together many years ago and decided to cut emissions quite significantly. Many countries have not been able to keep up to their promise. So all we have is a scenario of accelerating greenhouse gas emissions. So that is a huge policy problem that will somehow have to be addressed. This UN panel doesn't prescribe what to do. It tells you what the scenario is or scenarios are and lets policymakers make the decision. There are lots of industries that would face huge billions of dollars of expenditure to revamp their workings in order to meet these kind of CO2 emission guidelines. And it's not clear whether they'll actually step up and do that.
But as I read this, they say that overall the cost of this would be a few hundredths of a percent of growth over the next century if this path is pursued.
That's right. One of the key messages in this particular report is that the UN panel is going out of its way to say, look, we face a problem. This problem is going to get worse if we act later rather than sooner. But we can actually avert this in several ways, which I'm happy to tell you about, if we act quickly. And the cost of that will not be that significant in terms of global economic output. That's a key message, because there's always been a strong critical voice on the other side saying the cost of doing this for something that is somewhat uncertain, the science, there are uncertainties, is so huge. Maybe we shouldn't really embark on this till we really know what's going on. But the UN panel is saying, look, the economic cost of decarbonizing the global economy, as they put it, i.e. getting rid of a reliance on fossil fuels, is not that heavy a burden to bear.
And if we don't, I mean, the talk is of collapse of ice sheets, rapid rise in sea levels, difficulty growing enough food, huge die-offs of forests, and mass extinctions of plant and animal species. Do they try to calculate that into a cost matrix here, Gautam?
Well, it's very difficult to calculate exact expectations of what the cost of these will be. For certain things, you can come up with different scenarios, and they have. But there are other things. If you lose species, how do you calculate the cost of that? So they go out of their way to talk about some of the anticipated costs if, you know, sea levels rise, if certain low-lying countries or islands are inundated by higher water levels, what the cost of that would be, increase of, you know, violent storms, the kind of destruction that they can cause. You can put some numbers on that. It is obviously far from an exact science, because we don't exactly know how this is going to play out in various parts of the world.
And at a certain point, it's just meaningless to put a number on. How do you put the price on a life or millions of lives?
Exactly.
I'm Gautam Nayak with the Wall Street Journal in London. Thank you very much for joining us today, Gautam.
Thank you.
Here's the vice chair of the IPCC in Berlin yesterday saying that there must be a rapid, massive shift to renewable energy. Vice Chair Jim Ski here, talking to the BBC.
It means more clean electricity, it means more on energy efficiency, and we need to start acting now. Because if we don't act now, we will face many dangerous climate change impacts.
Joining me now from Newton, Massachusetts, is Robert Stavins, just back from Berlin, coordinating lead author of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report. You can link to that report at our website, onpointradio.org. Robert Stavins is an economist, expert on climate agreements at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, director of the Harvard Environmental Economics Program. Robert Stavins, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
So They're talking here about a 40 to 70% reduction in carbon emissions by the year 2050 and 100% by the year 2100. Are there policy options that would make those possible that are doable, Bob? Right.
Well, you're right to ask about policy, because cutting emissions is, first of all, going to require a really wide array of technological measures and also changes in behavior. And none of that is going to happen on its own. And the reason it won't happen on its own is because those measures range from inconvenient to very costly. I know when you look at this in terms of changes in economic growth averaged out into the future, you get this 0.06% number. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the annual differences in GDP, the impacts for many countries in the world, it's quite significant. That said, there are certainly policies that are in place now, and there are certainly potential for more policies. And importantly, those will have to be both at the national level and, because of the global commons nature of the problem, at the international level.
The short time frame for averting the potential risk of the worst is very arresting here, Rob. Paint a picture. They're saying act in 15 years, and then there's more action after that, but in 15 years to head this off, and there's still a chance. Can you just paint a picture of what kind of global action would be required in the next decade and a half to stay on a track that would head us somewhere shy of calamity?
Well, I'll comment in terms of the policy.
Yes.
What's needed is essentially what the European Union, for themselves anyway, are already doing. They were on a 20% goal, and now for 2030 they've committed to a 40% goal.
That is reduction in CO2 emissions.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Now, the United States also, believe it or not, does actually have climate policies going in place, and we're probably going to achieve, in fact, what is our 2020 target officially, which is a 17% reduction in CO2 emissions below the 2005 levels. Now, that's partly because of natural gas prices, it's partly because of the recent recession, but it's also partly because of a suite of policies that the Obama administration is putting in place through executive orders and regulations.
Hear great speeches and interviews at AXA Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Now you masters of war, you that build all of the guns, you that build the dead planes, you that build the big bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind the desk, just want you to know that I see through your mask. You that never done nothing but build to destroy, play with my world like it's your little toy. Put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes and turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly like the Judas of old. You lie, you deceive. World war can be won. You want me to but I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain, like I see through the waters that run down my drain. you fasten the triggers. For the others to fire. And sit back and watch. When the death count gets higher. Hide in your mansion as the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and buried in the mud. Well, that's the worst fear that can never be hurled. Fear to bring children into the world. Threatening my baby unborn and unnamed. Oh, you ain't worth the blood that runs in your. How much do I know to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young. You might say I'm unlearned. But there's one thing I know. Though I'm younger than you, even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. Well, that's the worst fear that can never be heard.
And now back to Tom Ashbrook and his guests talking about the 15 years left to end civilization's energy failures.
So to hit this 15-year goal, or the nearest one that you like, you choose, are we talking something like the pace of change that people have already seen in our lives in the last couple of decades? Or would we all feel some kind of pedal-to-the-metal acceleration of change in carbon emissions reductions?
So in order to achieve the kind of targets that are discussed, certainly for 2050, in order to keep temperatures below 2 degrees centigrade increase by the end of the century, very severe policies are going to be required unless, and this is a significant unless there are technological breakthroughs. And that's why an important element of this, in addition to public policy, needs to be accelerated research. And that might come from government funds. It might come from private funds. If there was a price on carbon emissions, we'd see a lot of invention and innovation stimulated.
When you say very severe policies required to keep it under with current technology, like what? You've just got a minute, but give us a couple of examples.
So an example of that, I mean, all policies can be translated into essentially what their cost would be. And so whether or not there are technology standards, there are performance standards that require firms to reduce emissions, their cap and trade systems, their carbon taxes, we can translate them into what economists call the shadow price of carbon. And that's a good way to think about them. And what I'm suggesting is that what would be needed would be prices on the order of $100 per ton of CO2 emissions. That's far above any standard that any country in the world is currently at.
We're talking this hour about an urgent new call to action on climate change. The new UN report saying we have just 15 years to act to avoid calamity, the potential risk of really bad outcomes for the global environment. Really stern warnings, but also the word that we can do it if we make decisions that put us on the path. Environmentalists welcomed the new report. Here was Kaisa Kosonen, Greenpeace spokesperson, out of talking to Euronews about the Berlin report.
There is certainly hope. This is the strong message of this report, that we have the solutions, we have still time to prevent dangerous climate change, and it's not going to cost us money, it's actually going to save us money, and it's just about speeding up the good trends that are already happening and accepting the fact that we just have to get rid of fossil fuels in the long term.
We have two guests with us today who have been in the middle of the process unfolding this last weekend and earlier in Berlin. Robert Stavins joins us from Newton, Massachusetts, coordinating lead author of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report released in Berlin. You can link to that entire report at our website, onpointradio.org. And from Berlin, Leon Clark joins us now. Leon Clark is lead author on the section of the UN report about the switch from fossil fuels to clean energy. He's senior scientist at the Global Research Institute based at the University of Maryland. Leon Clark in Berlin, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
How do you see the big main headline message out of this report?
Well, to me, there's really three big messages. So the first one is, if we look historically and we look to the future, the problem's really not taking care of itself. And so if we do want to do something about climate change and actually prevent the risk of further harm, we need to act relatively quickly. So that's the first message. The second message that comes out is that there are solutions. And I heard from the last little break you had, the person from Greenpeace talking about how we do have solutions. And that's true. There are solutions. But the third message is, the reason this hasn't really taken care of itself already is that it's actually quite a challenging problem. And it's challenging not just technologically. I think people spend a lot of time thinking about the technology, but actually the institutional and social challenges are really at the core of this problem.
Could you speak to those social challenges? Robert Stavins is saying, we need a heavy price on carbon to get this done, maybe $100 per ton. We'll talk about what the policies might be that would create that. But in terms of lived reality for businesses, for citizens, what would that kind of, heavy one way or another tax or price on carbon mean in terms of business functioning, lifestyle?
Yeah, I think, the report, as was mentioned earlier, makes clear what the total aggregate economic cost would be, and there's different perspectives about how to think about that. But I think what you've just highlighted is actually a key portion of what the issue is. The issue is not just how much it'll influence us in total, but the fact that there are, in fact, folks that will be more influenced than others. Certain businesses will obviously be more influenced than others. Others may be advantaged, but those that are advantaged are often ones that are not around today. For example, if you think about a renewables lobby, is not nearly as strong as lobbies for fuels that are already in use today. So I think that asymmetry is really important. But more generally, I think the institutional challenges have to do with the fact that this is not really at the top of everyone's list. Climate change is not the biggest issue from many perspectives. And also, many of the investment needs to take care of climate change actually take place out of the rich nations, and they have a very different list of priorities than we may have.
My name's Michaelo. I like to play with shiny toys. I'm just a child like other little boys. What's leukemia? Won't somebody tell? Is it as pretty as this little bullet shell? My name is Hanan. I'll be dead within a year. But if I could speak, and if somehow you could hear, I'd ask some questions, maybe some that you could answer. Like, what's uranium, and why was I born with cancer? And I'm Juanita, for me life's been short and strange. Born with no arms here beside the bombing range. They call it DU, the stuff that made my life this way. My parents were arrested at the protest yesterday. I I have no name on this military base. Born and died here, a child without a face. To serve his country, my father went off to war. But it followed him home, back to the Mississippi shore. Poisoned children of the earth, and I will haunt you wherever you give birth. In the war zones, whichever side you're on, 'cause the dust is never settled once the battle's dead and gone. Yes, I'm the future of a planet on its knees. Radiation, sickness, and disease. I'm all the armies, I'm the life that couldn't be. And when you see another baby, think of me. When you see another baby, think of me. When you see another baby, think of me.
And now, messages from Access Sacramento.